don't get people to donate, we got to fire you.
So I have to tell everyone that WBAI listener-supported free speech radio, Truth and Justice Radio, Radio for the 99.5% on 99.5 FM is the best radio station in New York City, the only truly listener-supported station in New York City, and they should contribute to WBAI, become WBAI buddy members. And if they don't?
Then we gotta fire you.
You can't fire me.
Why?
Because I'm just a volunteer. WBAI doesn't have enough money to hire somebody to do publicity and promotion.
So what do we do instead?
How about a silly conversation like this that we can broadcast on the air and say, please support Peace and Justice, Free Speech Radio, Radio for the 99.5% at 99.5 FM. Contribute. Become a WBAI buddy member.
Hello and welcome to WBAI's candidate forum for the 2023 delegate elections. Today we will hear from various listener candidates running to represent you on WBAI's local station board. We have 28 total candidates running for 9 seats. You can find more info online at elections.pacifica.org. I'm Catherine Davis, the moderator of this forum, and you are listening to WBAI in New York. 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. The forum starts with candidate statements, followed by questions from you. You can call in 212-209-2877. And when you make that call, stay on hold and we will get back to you. You can email your questions to radio at WBAI.org. And if you are in the Zoom session, you can submit your questions by live chat. All questions should be general in nature and not directed to specific candidates. All candidates will have the chance to answer each question. Please note that all viewpoints presented are those of the participants and do not reflect the position of the Pacifica Foundation or WBAI. All participants must respect each other and abide by the ground rules. which the candidates have agreed to in advance. Neither candidates or listeners may use derogatory language. Anyone using such language will be immediately and permanently removed from the forum. Each candidate has 2 minutes to make an opening statement. Candidates will be able to view actually a timer, which is myself, on their screen to let them know when time is up. To give each candidate a chance to answer questions first, the order of candidate will be rotated when answering questions. Okay, so according to this, the first speaker would have been Mike Nickerson. He is not online. So we will go to Serene Roberts. Excellent. Yes.
Box, your trash box, your everything box. Someone needs to mute. I'm hearing an echo.
Yes. Serene, start again, please.
Okay. Hi, this is Serene Roberts again, or still, hoping that you will consider me seriously as a candidate for the LSB. I've been around BAI for a while in various capacities, paid and unpaid staff, listener always, regardless of anything else, advocate for fair and reasonable treatment for friend and foe, which has gotten me into trouble sometimes. Asking that Pacifica live up to its promises. Sorry about the background noise. So sorry. Because I think we have important work to do, but we need to be internally consistent and not just preach one message on air while practicing another, in terms of how we operate, how we treat our staff. And I'm asking that for the 9 seats that need to be filled in this election, certainly you'll have to vote for 8 other people and I will make recommendations, but I am asking that you rank me number 1. I come with the highest recommendations from the host of this program, Dawood Andre, from Mrs. Rita Marksman, and from Sinke Brath. And I would hope that those together say something about the positions you might expect me to stand for, sit for, support on BAI. I do want to say, for those of you longing for news of Haiti and with a pending UN intervention, disappointed that we are actually using 3 consecutive slots for this program. I don't think that was the best judgment at work. But Dawood will be back on the air on the 9th of September. In the meantime, some of you might have heard on one of David Rothenberg's show an interview with this young brother named Pascal. He was born of Haitian parents who were in the U.S. Army in Germany. They moved back to Queens when he was 3. He was involved as a lookout in turned out to be a felony robbery charge because someone died during the commission of the robbery. And he served about almost 25 years. Now the U.S. government is seeking to deport him to Haiti, a country he has never been to, and born of U.S. citizen parents in the army in Germany on a U.S. base. So there's lots happening in Haiti, including the visit of some Kenyan officials, and I understand that both Jamaica and the Bahamas have offered to also send agents to assist. The last time the UN helped Haiti, we lost a lot of people to cholera. A UN invasion, which is essentially a US invasion, is not the way to go. So, you know, stay tuned, and hopefully some other programs on BAI will catch up and provide what we're missing here today. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. And now we're going to go to our next candidate.
And let's see, I think we might have missed someone.
Hold on.
Joan DiLorenzo.
You have two minutes to make your opening statement.
Thank you, Catherine. Hi, everybody. My name is Joan DiLorenzo. I'm with WBAI. I've been listening to BAI since the 70s, and I want to keep BAI strong and keep it going. The station is too precious to lose. We have a treasure here, and we need more. We just need to be more transparent with everything. That includes everything, including financial and programming and all. We need more diversity. We have a huge Asian population here, and we do not have any Asian programs. We need to have street news. We need to get out in the street and see what's going on and do the news at that time, like we used to do it years ago. We need to go and get younger people to get more interest in radio and to work with us and to teach them. And they can teach us how to do new ways of radio. We should be in the community, in the senior centers, community centers, high schools, colleges. Just the programming needs to be inclusive of the whole community. This is free speech, truth and justice, community radio, and that's what we need to bring back. And that's why I'm running for a seat on the LSD. And I hope you'll vote for me and for Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman, Serene Roberts, and Alejandra Murphy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next candidate is M.K. Williams.
Hi. I don't know how I will appear on the ballot. My official first name is Matilda, but I usually go by, most people know me as M.K. at this point. I've had the honor to be the non-voting, non-speaking secretary of the LSB over the past 2 years. And also I've been secretary of the finance committee over the past 2 years. And now I'm also secretary of the management evaluation committee. This experience has given me a close look at WBAI governance and problems. I've tried to be secretary to all, and I can tell you I've run into bumps in all directions trying to do that. What I want to get across today mostly is that to save BAI, we need to work on group dynamics. We need to remember that we all have differences, but the sum of all of our differences is not as great as the goal of saving free speech radio, which is unique in the history of the world. We need to remember that trust is a two-way street, and sometimes we need to take the first step. We need to remember we all have expertise, and we need to respect and share our expertise. We also need to remember we're all human, and we all make human mistakes. The world is full of places where there are blood feuds going on. Pacifica doesn't need to be one of them. Just some background about me. New York for 23 years. I became a physician assistant in New York. I worked in New York hospitals and emergency rooms. I'm very familiar with New York. I got turned on to BAI when I was a PA student studying late hours in Brooklyn in the early 1970s. And I stayed loyal to BAI, even though I moved back to my home state of Oklahoma. I actually continued streaming BAI and also contributing and being a member of BAI. I've been happy to be secretary, and which allows me to do what I can remotely to dot the I's and cross the T's and do things that need to be done for BAI. I think it's a wonderful thing to be forced to be a listener and actually listen to people. I think we need more of that. But it would also be nice to occasionally be able to speak and vote on things.
Thank you. And next, Paul DiRienzo, you have 2 minutes.
Greetings. And what brings me here is, well, you know, I was listening to what folks are saying, and I can just think that today was the anniversary of the 60th anniversary of the 1963 March on Washington. It's not the actual, that's the 28th, but today was the actual march. It was held in Washington. And I remember reading about this a few days ago, and they were told a story about how Bayard Rustin was able to bring together six different organizations that didn't like each other, didn't work together, had tremendous personal, personal and political differences between them. Some groups were very into business and pro-government. Others were involved with socialists and other far-left groups. And somehow they managed to bring it all together. And surprise, surprise, 250,000 people came out on August 28, 1963 to the Lincoln Memorial. And while today didn't have those kind of numbers, I haven't been listening all day to WBAI, but even if we did cover some of it, there should have been a lot more hype than I think there was. And I think that gets to the failures of not just BAI, I think, but the whole Pacifica network. And of course, I believe that comes from the top. And not in the sense of any individual person, but in the sense of vision or lack of vision or lack of following, really understanding the mission statement that is so important to WBAI and to Pacifica Radio. And I feel that if folks should go, and I'm not going to read from it, I've read from it at some of these other events. I'll spare you that, but just say you could go to the Pacifica.org website and read. It's four paragraphs long. And you can list for yourselves all the things that WBAI should be doing and is not doing. We are in a situation where we are, you know, and this is, I love the programming. Obviously, the programming on BAI has its following, and it's important to WBAI and should remain and be supported on BAI, right? The programming is good. It's community. It's connected to the community. But we are not doing enough. There's so much more that has to be done. And in this time, you know, when we have a former president who's been arrested four times now, and we see his mugshot all over the place, we're just ignoring all the reasons why Pacifica Radio is supposed to be here in the first place. And we are not, instead, we are looking for the safe route all the time. And the safe route has led to a safe place. We have to have a little bit more risk taking at the top in this organization. And I'm not going to say I'm the one. If I run, I'm going to advocate that free speech is what this radio station is about. And that's what we should be focusing on, is free speech. And we should be out there because they're looking for us. I mean, just read. I'm not going to quote it to you. Some of you have already seen it in Wall Street Journal or in the New York Times the other day. I mean, we're under attack. The programmers on WBAI, I heard on WBAI, and people who are supporters of Pacifica Radio are under direct attack by the New York Times and by the government. They mentioned names. They named names. And folks have read that article, and that was in the New York Times last week. And it's serious business when the government starts doing that. We're heading into an area. We have to go back to our roots. Somebody said they listened in 1972. Yes, I did too. I grew up in New York. Spent my whole life here. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. You have ample time to come back in as people ask questions. And we have Davis Saltman isn't here. So we're going to Camilla Rees.
Great. Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. I'm Camilla Rees, and I'm running for a seat on WBAI's local station board. I'm running because I believe that independent media is essential to democracy, and that radio, dedicated to freedom of speech, has a critical role to play in today's media landscape, especially with all the censorship going on mainstream media, not only in more broadly educating people compared to the mainstream media, but because the independent radio allows us to truly hear each other's views so that we can develop understanding and find common ground. And we really need to focus on listening to each other and finding common ground. And I have untold number of great ideas for new programming, innovative fundraising, growing listenership, and ways to bring us closer together as a community. I bring significant business and financial skills. I'm highly creative, and I have a strong strategic acumen that I'd like to put to work in support of WBAI's success. I'm a strategic thinker, and I think that WBAI needs strategic thinking in order to make sure that the range of programming is truly meeting the market's needs. That's business 101, meet the market's needs. There's so many opportunities to meet our community's needs for education, for culture, for help navigating life, government, career, money, health, to understand health and environmental issues, self-help, how to engage in the political process and how policy is formed. What do we do about these 5G jumbo antennas that I've been focusing on now for a number of years that come going up in our neighborhoods? I'd like to see stories of redemption, how people found their way out of their problems. I'd like to see outings, bringing people, WBAI people together, like Secret New York does, to whether it's museum visits, coffee at a farmer's market, even a singing group at nursing homes, bringing people together to really feel the connection, the community that we need so badly today. I want WBAI's programming, I want it to be a compassionate place, a human place where human beings matter. And I believe that if we target the right markets, if we are meeting the needs of the market, that there will be so many ways to get support from foundations if we target these themes. And
time.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. So it's time to move to listener questions, and you can call. The call-in line is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. I'll put you on hold. You can also send an email to radio@wbai.org. So, if you have an email, send it to radio@wbai.org. And the first question comes to us from Michael. Michael says, if it's very important to grow listenership and listener support, by promoting and creating a greater awareness of our programs. How do we do that given that the WBAIs and Pacificas are currently scarce? So I suppose that means economically scarce. So let's see. We will give that question to Serene Roberts. You have 1 minute.
Hi, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Thanks. You know, we don't have a lot of cash. We're operating in the red. I would love if we could be in the black. But there are things that are possible. Joining with community organizations, joining with other media outlets, whether it's cable access, whether it's the community newspapers that we pick up for free, whether we're trading PSAs for them for a promotion of WBAI, that's possible. Whether, in fact, we reinvigorate a real volunteer organization or department, something we haven't had in I don't know how long. We don't have interns, really. The last batch were, some would say, chased out, but, you know, they're not there. We talk about collaboration, but we don't practice collaboration. We don't even have a healthy amount of interaction among the staff. All staff interact with the engineers, which is maybe why you see so many engineers ending up on boards at various times, because they get to know the staff better than staff since we left Wall Street. Staff has really not been unified in a place that they could be together. Atlantic Avenue was an option for a while. That hasn't been an option even before COVID, because I think we lost half of our space even before COVID. We need to network. We need to go to organizations. We need to do what the Harlem Connection did so successfully. Make contact through the community boards. Say, hey, we're here. This is what we do. We need to flyer at events. Right now, we've been struggling with the general manager for 2 months to get permission to get a free space at Atlantic Antic coming up on October 1st, the largest fair, they say, in New York. I don't know. I think maybe the West Indian Carnival might be a little bigger, but I won't quibble. To get free space to hand out flyers. We can't even get that done. What's the problem?
Time.
Thanks.
Thank you. And next, we have Joan DiLorenzo. Joan, you have a minute to answer. Did you give your introductory statement?
Yes.
Okay, so now
I know I came in late. I apologize.
No, that's quite all right. And so you have 1 minute to answer the question.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly with what Serene says. We have to network. We have to be out there. People have to know who we are. It would be good if we could find a way to call people whose membership has lapsed and see why they're not listening anymore. It would be good to go on community boards. I want to make a colorful flyer to bring around to the libraries, and we can go also to like restaurants, to little shops in the neighborhood. I'm not talking about the big stores and all, but and leave flyers. And yes, we used to have meetings. We used to have all these things. We need to have like more community stuff. Go to the community centers, senior centers, high schools, colleges. Maybe have a couple of concerts to get people to know that we're still here, and then so they can come back to us. And of course, with the having problems with the GM and all
time
for that Atlantic Avenue thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so let's go to our next candidate in line here, and that will be Paul DiRienzo.
Hey, thanks a lot. Well, what we have to do is what we're not doing, and that is to, and I think I agree, I'm going to just say it in a slightly different way or a few different words, pretty much exactly what's just been said. We need somebody at the top or somebody involved who has the power of WBAI and Pacifica Radio to start. You know, I know where it's sort of a lefty station with its roots in the hippie movement. And before that, the beat, we wear blue jeans. We have funny hair. We go around. I mean, we have to learn how to put on a tie and tails and go to a dinner and talk to people. We just have to be able to be at every event. We have to represent, as people have said, this station and what it's trying to do at venues where there's potential supporters who will like what we're doing. And obviously we have to reach out to big donors. And one way to do that is to be out there at all these events and other people do it. You know, why aren't we at the Tribeca Film Festival? Why aren't we, why don't we have much more in-depth reporting of what happened today in Washington and tie it into a whole thing about 60 years since the March of Washington, a seminal event in the history of Pacifica Radio? And yet we did nothing virtually about it. I mean, the minimum. And then how come, and I don't blame anybody. It's obvious why it happened, because we're not set up to do that anymore and haven't been for a long time. We need people at the top to do it.
Thank you. And up next, MK Williams.
Well, I was very interested in the fact that KPFT, which is a sister station, went through a lot of upheaval. They had to sell a building. They had to move to another building. They had to keep their station on the air. And they did an amazing amount of grassroots fundraising. And I think, and now they are actually the only Pacifica station which is operating in the black. So whatever they did, this is where the idea came to me. We need to share expertise. And I know that, like, Bertolt is always short thousands. And sometimes a grassroots fundraising event will only raise, at best, hundreds. But it does involve people, and it is part of outreach. Time. And I think we need to work together on things like that.
Thank you. And next we have Camilla Reese.
Thank you. So I agree with many things that others have said, but I think first it boils down to the quality of the programming and making sure that it's meeting the needs of a market. And whatever those segments are that it's meeting needs in, we need to find out who are the nonprofit groups that are addressing those issues. Who are the funders of those groups? Who cares about those issues? Who are the celebrities associated with them? And bring those people on the air. And then you get the access to their big lists of people. They're already interested in that given issue, whatever the issue is, whether it's, you know, dealing with housing issues or culture in New York or how to navigate through career and money and health. You find out who, it's very, very easy to do to get, if you can bring some people on the air that have large lists already and that care about your issues that you're trying to educate about. I do agree. We need leadership it comes from the top. And I also agree with, the idea of making sure we're at different events like the Tribeca Film Festival that somebody mentioned. But I think it could be done inexpensively just by targeting these segments, these market segments, and finding out who's already in that space, who's funding in that space, and who could you interview where you could get visibility through their posting the interview. It's quite simple.
Okay, so we're going to take a listener call with a question. Hello, you're on the air. Your name and your question, please.
Yeah, my name is Michael. Radio listenership in general is significantly down, and that's due to a shift to the Internet in part. Now, ratings for legacy media and corporate media are also down. The good news is that alternative media that provides alternative views, information, and narratives to the corporate and legacy media is growing by leaps and bounds. But the Pacifica audience, historically an important alternative media voice, is down. How do we sort this out in terms of what we want to do for a healthy and robust Pacifica and WBAI and grow our audience membership and listener contribution base?
Thank you for your question. And let's go through the round of all of you once again. Let's start this round with Joan DiLorenzo.
Thank you. I think we just all have to work together. We also have to overcome the forces inside the Pacifica that want to shut us down. I mean, we're not all working together here to make this a better station. There's people that want to shut us down. That has to be overcome. I think working together is the only way we can do this. And we have to reach out. We gave so many musicians and all their start. I don't see why we can't reach out to all these people that have money, that listened and were on Pacifica, were on BAI in the 60s and 70s. We need more to reach out more to people and to make better programming that people want to listen to, that's more inclusive with what's going on. Like, we need the more street news and all, and more diversity with the programs for the community. All that, but I think it's basically working together. That's what we need.
Time. And next is M.K. Williams.
Wow, that's an interesting question, why alternative media would be growing by leaps and bounds while WBAI isn't. I think people who, I'm not an expert at understanding Nielsen's ratings. I understand we need to pay our Nielsen's bills in order to get our Nielsen's ratings. And that takes fundraising. So we need seed money to get more money to get the information that would maybe help us make those decisions that we need to make as far as programming. And that's not my area of expertise, and I would pass that leadership on to whoever's area that is.
And thank you. The next one up is Paul DiRienzo.
Hey. Very good question, but I really think that it's pretty much a self-made problem, because we have to be able to get out from just what we've been doing up till now, because what do they say? Just repeating the same thing is not really the way to do things, that we should find a new way out, think a little bit out of the box maybe. We have to allow a wider variety of views on the radio station, for one, or be at least tolerable of that. And I'm talking about like more of an anarchist scene, because a lot of the young people are much more anarchist than they are socialists. So you should be reaching out to those people, and if you want to get younger people. But there's, I know there's a hesitancy to do that because it's been a socialist radio station for a long time. But you have to open up to other points of view, and you might hear something you don't like on the radio by doing that. The other thing is that news. The thing that attracts people is if they hear something, they have to come to BAI and hear something they haven't heard before. They want to hear something that they can't hear anywhere else. We did that with the news. I mean, rehashing Democracy Now at 6 o'clock is, I don't understand that idea. Okay. I won't categorize it. I'll just say, if somebody understands it better than I do, they should tell me, because I don't really understand. Sorry about this. It's an ambulance going by my house at this moment, my studio at this moment. So that's it, you know. And I think you getting rid of having regurgitated news is, it's not news. When Trump's pictures on the television everywhere, and then I'm hearing a regurgitation of 6 p.m. news the day before, the noon news the day before, or earlier that day. We missed everything that happened in between. How could that attract anybody's attention? News. Thank you.
And up next is Camilla Reese.
Thank you. Well, I think that we should be looking at the diversity of our audience. And if the numbers have dropped, who are the people that are listening and who are the people that are not? And there are ways through programming, through series of different series, that one can bring back that diversity of program. That's good programming that's going to attract a diversity of groups. I remember one of the most memorable experiences in New York in my 20s was somebody arranged a visit to like about 15 different churches, temples, synagogues, mosques. And we had heard a lecture from somebody there and had dinner. We got to know their faith. We got to understand them. So, it's lived with me for the rest of my life, a deep appreciation for multiple religions. And so I think that there are ways that one could do something like that on the air. You could feature the different ethnic groups in the city, you know, the Chinatown, Astoria, the Russian neighborhood. You could really make it a culturally very rich, interesting programming that will cover a lot of the bases, cover a lot of ground, cover a lot of groups in New York to expand the diversity of the programming so you can expand the audience.
Okay. And next, Serene Roberts. Serene Roberts, are you there?
Hi, there I am. Can you remind me of the question, please?
No.
Can someone remind me of the question? Were we talking about programming?
I think popularity.
The question is
why we lost our audience. Why are we losing our audience?
Okay, so, you know, there are a number of things. First of all, I think it would be a really great idea if the stats some people like to talk about are actually shared with the rest of the LSB. I know there was an LSB member who called in. And I would also say that we used to have program councils, which were bodies where staff actually got a chance for input. We no longer have program councils. We no longer have an unpaid staff union. Folks are subject to really the whims of the decision makers. There's not a great deal of collaboration happening at the station. One of the charges of the LSB is to ensure that there's a respectful collaborative process for programming changes. As to programming needs assessments, which I suppose the LSB is relying on the Community Advisory Board to conduct, no such thing has happened. So the folks who are spouting numbers, you know, I don't know where they're getting them from, but I'll tell you, in terms of interaction with the community, the communities of New York, there are a great many people in activist circles who don't even know that BAI is still on the air. So I think that's a problem.
Thank you.
And we're out of time.
Wait, I get 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, finish up.
Okay, thanks. So I think we need to stabilize the programming, and by that I don't mean lock it in place for 20 years, but set up real processes where the people who are doing the work and who hear from listeners can actually contribute ideas, and where listeners have a chance to contribute ideas without being cut off the air when they call in. Thanks.
Thank you. We have two callers holding on right now, but first I'm going to take a question from the email. If you want to send an email, please go to radio@wbai.org. If you want to call in person, and speak live. The number is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. And this question is from Carolyn. What do candidates think of the high popularity of Joe Rogan, Mark Russell, and Jimmy Dore, who talk about COVID shot injuries, the terrible consequences of lockdowns, and the pro-war agenda of mainstream media in comparison of dwindling listeners on MSNBC, CNN, and mainstream media? And this is not an LSB question, so I'm not sure. What you might want to say, but can you go very, very quickly through this particular question? And let's start with Paul DiRienzo.
Hey, well, my briefly, what I'm going to say is I'm a strong supporter the programming that deals with health at WBAI on both sides of this issue. I've worked with the programmers on both sides. All I can say, and I hate to be down the middle on all of this, but as news, I think that's my role, is to be down the middle on all of this, and I'm going to take it that way. I'm not going to say I'm pro or anti-vaccine. I'm going to just say that I'm close to people who are see the fears of vaccines and are constantly in my ear on it, and I am close to others who tell me the other thing. So I'm going to cover it like news and give people a chance to make up their own minds and maybe learn something myself in that process. But nobody would be banned or kept from the air by their position on a health issue like that. No way, under me.
Camilla,
if I had that role.
Thank you. Camilla Reese.
Yes. Hi. Thank you. Not that I sit around and listen to those radio shows much, Joe Rogan and Jimmy Dore, but I am a strong advocate for medical freedom and for our bodily autonomy and for the importance of informed consent. And before you have informed consent, you have to have informed choice and be fully educated on the risks. And I don't think that was done very well during the pandemic. And then in the end, a lot of people were very seriously injured, including people that I know. So I really believe that we shouldn't have mandates. I think lockdowns are not a good idea. I think that research has shown that's been very, very bad in many regards, economic and for our mental health.
Time.
Okay.
And Serene Roberts, did you answer this question? Or would you like to?
I did not. I don't actually listen to any of the people who are known, so I really can't have an opinion on their opinion. But I will say that I think it's important that we at all times keep the doors open to people of different positions on any given issue. I too have heard charges and countercharges and assumptions and for the people who take one position, the other people's position is a rumor mill. And for the other people, they're conspiracy nuts. And, that's how it goes. But let's have the discussion. Information is information.
Thank you. Joan DiLorenzo.
Yes, I know we have to have everyone's opinions, but I don't think we're hearing that much. And being someone who got COVID in March of 2020, and I have the COVID after effects, which is killing me, and which is making me, it's so hard to function. I would like to hear more on that. And not so much on not wearing that. I wear a mask and do all that. But I would like to hear more about the people that have the COVID after effects and what they're going through. I don't think we're hearing much about that. We're just hearing, we shouldn't take vaccines.
Okay, thank you. And M.K. Williams.
Oh, I'm sorry. COVID is still listed as our third leading cause of death in America.
And I think people who are elderly or who have, you know, underlying conditions, they need to take very seriously what their decisions are going to be, and that needs to be respected. I think there have been a lot of missteps on the part of the CDC. First, you're supposed to wear masks, and you're not supposed to wear masks. All you need to do is social distancing. Then that's not all you need to do. They've changed so many times, no one knows what they're advocating right now. So I understand there's a lot of different opinions and points of view out there. I also think the cure for what you consider bad speech is more speech. So I think I'm personally in favor of vaccination. I've vaccinated many people, including got myself vaccinated. But I do think it's Camilla said, should be an informed individual choice.
Thank you. And we have one person in the room. Eleanor, do you have a question? You have 1 minute to give your question, please.
Yes. In preference, since my question concerns the bylaws, I know Serene knows them backwards and forwards, but the rest of you, have you familiarized with yourselves with them recently? And my question is, I know that we have not been in compliance and in support of the bylaws in various different ways. What would your top priorities be, each of you, in trying to cleave closer to the bylaws, or do you think they should be changed?
Okay, thank you. So, Serene, why don't you take the first answer? Are you there, Serene? Okay, let's go to Joan DiLorenzo.
I have read the bylaws just recently, so I don't know with my brain right now that doesn't function that great. If I remember it all, I'm trying to take it all in. But I just think that we have to follow, like, being more transparent and just having more programming that's for the community and more diversity. I know that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, next, Serene, are you there? Okay, MK Williams.
Well, I think the bylaws are there for reasons. Usually they come about from wrongdoing of somebody or other along the way. I think they're well written. I think they apply to real things. I think they apply to some regulation issues that are important to dot the I's and cross the T's and stay in touch with. I would caution that sometimes the bylaws can be used as cudgels, and people can cherry pick which bylaws they want to make an issue about and which other bylaws they want to ignore. And I just think we need to, if we're going to enforce them, we need to enforce all of them, and we need to be fair and open about how we're doing that.
Thank you. Paul DiRienzo.
I was sort of there at the beginning when they wrote these bylaws, and they were 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, and they were written, unfortunately, in a time of extreme conflict and pretty much open, like they called it, the Pacifica Civil War when they were written. And I think they've brought into this through the last 20 years and into this period sort of that same feel when you read them of this was made to prevent any sort of possibility of ever selling this station or doing what you did to us before type of thing. And I think that has sort of contributed to a warlike mentality in how we boards come together and a factionalization. I like to see a reduction in the facts of that factionalizing, maybe a streamlining but it has to be done the same way that they were made. And at this point, there has to be like a constitutional convention and an opportunity for a tremendous amount of input. It has to take a long time, and it has to be approved and reapproved and approved again before it's passed. If there's any changes, this sudden change thing or seizing radio stations and shutting down people can't go on.
Shireen, are you available to answer the question on the bylaws? Okay. Camilla, did
I'm
you...
I'm trying to unmute. Can you hear me?
Oh, I hear you now, yes.
Oh, dear. Oh, you can hear me now? I can't hear you.
I hear you, but I do hear some background noise. So speak up. Unfortunately, we're not hearing you at the moment. Your phone is breaking up a little bit. I guess you'll call back in. Camilla, did you answer the question?
No, but I'm just happy to make a quick statement. I think that it's a good idea to review bylaws periodically, and I really wouldn't have any comment on it, and I would seek legal advice in terms of what, what they are now and what they might be, and get input from people. And there's nothing wrong with change as long as it's done, in an orderly fashion.
Thank you. Shireen hasn't made it back in. We're going to take a listener call. Please state your name. You have 1 minute, and you would be one of the earlier callers. You're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, my name is Andrew, and I'm a listener member from KPFK Los Angeles. First, for the host, how much time for the question? And I don't think candidates can call in to shows, including these, for future reference.
Okay, thank you. 1 minute.
All right, my question, I have a few questions. First of all, the Pacifica bylaws and the mission statement are available for everybody to read at pacifica.org. Have you read the mission statement, and what do you think of it? Have you read the bylaws? My other question is regarding the referendum to change the bylaws put out by the group New Day Pacifica. How did you vote for that referendum, and what do you think about these efforts by this group to change our bylaws? Thank you very much.
Time, thank you. I don't know that Shireen heard that question. It's about the bylaws. Why don't we start with M.K. Williams?
Okay, well, I was opposed to that referendum. It proposed to really take away a lot of our democratic processes, open board meetings. I was chair of the Free Speech Radio Alliance back in the 1980s, and the one thing we did was get the LSB meetings opened back up to the public after they had been closed for 13 years. So that was our claim to fame. As far as the mission statement, I've always said, no matter what group I'm in, that should be our North Star. That's what founded Pacifica. And that is one thing that we all do agree with and have in common. And basically, I would summarize that as educating our way to world peace. That's a tall order, but I think it's a wonderful goal.
Thank you. Paul DiRienzo?
Yeah, I would have to say something similar to that. The problem with the lawsuit in New Day is that they're using a hammer to put a screw in the wall and complaining why it's not working. And I think that they should look at these lawsuits that they've lost, and they can't blame any lawyer or anything. The lawsuits weren't much more than filing the papers, and they won, which tells you something right there, right from the beginning. They should have known. People should stop suing Pacifica all the time. I could think of all the reasons people not nick me off, you know, and I felt like I want to sue all these SOBs. And of course I wouldn't do anything like that. And nobody should ever think of that. And yet over and over again, they have these lawsuits, these internal lawsuits, and they're doing things to each other. And that's not acceptable in any workplace. And they should focus on that.
Time.
Rather than all these other things, we should have a document that tells what the work rules are and whatever, and we should know what everybody's job is supposed to be. I mean, they haven't done any of that. That's what they should be doing. Thank you.
Shireen?
Hi, I'm sorry. I had, I muted because my background was a little noisy and then I couldn't unmute and then I couldn't hear you and you couldn't hear me. So I actually did not hear either the gentleman's question. I just heard the tail end and all the question before. Can someone possibly tell me what I missed? Because I love the bylaws.
No, Eleanor, thank you. So any one of the candidates on board, can you repeat the question?
What about the bylaws? What do we think about these bylaws? Should they be changed or shouldn't they be? And how should we go about it?
You know? Okay. So I heard someone responding about lawsuits, so I'll start with that. The New Day Pacifica, nothing new there, actually, which is a corpse of the restructuring Pacifica referendum that came and was defeated the year before. Both aim to make Pacifica less democratic, to strip away local station boards, and to set up a situation where one faction can have all five offices seats, where there are two categories of staff separating paid and unpaid staff. The only thing that separates paid and unpaid staff at our stations is the paycheck. The amount of work that people sink into their programs is the same. It's a serious commitment of work. And we don't see why, you know, hundreds of staff, let's say each station has about 200, and people have been sniping about that. I guess they've never done collective work. But when you have roughly, they want to have the same number of representatives for the handful of paid staff, which is, I think, about 80-something at this point, to almost 1,000 in the foundation. That's an issue of balance. Okay, so that's on one question. Can I answer the other question with regard to the bylaws in general? And
yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So, the bylaws actually have a process for how you change the bylaws. It requires that it be proposed. Either it can be proposed by listeners, it can be proposed by local station boards, it can be proposed by a certain number of directors, national board members. But what we had recently was essentially a bylaws coup. The 2022 board did not have elections. Money, they say, was the issue, although there was money for other things. But let's not get into that. Let's get into why they felt the need to violate the absolute 6-year term limit and keep themselves and their cronies, their majorities at various stations, in power into a 7th year. There are 5 people, one of whom did not vote for it, but there are 5 people who are in their 7th year of governance where the bylaws say, in no event, those words in no event are pretty clear to me. In no event shall someone serve more than 6 years without a 1-year, 12-month break. There's a lawsuit about that. What the New Day people did when they lost their lawsuit was they went around apparently contacting vendors of Pacifica and saying that they had won and they were in charge. To this date, although they've lost on appeal, they're still dragging that lawsuit out. Pacifica sued to get them to stop interfering with the foundation's ability to do business. Whether that was the smartest move, I don't know. I wasn't in the executive session where they made the decision.
Time.
But it bears, sorry, let me just say this. I understand the legal fees so far are upwards of $500,000. This is an ego game some people are playing, a power game and a power grab. Thanks.
Okay, Joan DiLorenzo.
Yes, when the BAI was shut down and when it was reopened, I came to work to call listener members and all to vote against that New Day resolution to change the bylaws. And I think the mission statement should be our statement. Free speech, truth and justice, community radio. That's what we are. That's what we, that's how this was, whole Pacifica thing was started. And I think we need to listen to that more and work on that more.
Thank you. Camilla Reese, did you answer?
No, I will now. Yes, I have read the mission statement. I think it's great. With regard to all the politics that seems to go on at Pacifica and between the national and the chapters, the stations, I'm not that up to speed on it all. I really, I'm a big believer in communication. And I have a feeling that if people sat in a room and talked these issues through, that people could find common ground. And we don't need all this, you know, acrimony and lawsuits. And I think there are serious communication issues. That's what I've been able to tell so far. I've heard different people tell me different things about, you know, what happened and what the intentions are and were or might be. And it's very confusing. And I think that there needs to be some kind of a powwow to get people together and to talk over these things so that a lot of this unnecessary energy can, and money not have to be spent.
Time. You're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. And this is the second of two candidate forums for the local station board here at WBAI Pacifica in New York, listener-supported radio. And we're going to another listener call. Hello, please say your name. And you have 1 minute to ask your question.
Daryl McPherson, Bronx, New York.
Excellent.
I'd like to thank Catherine for doing an excellent job in hosting and moderating this candidates forum. What I'd like to know is, would the candidates agree that a minimum of $3 million must be raised by October 1st this year, and $5 million next year? And what is their plan to do that? As an addendum, I'm promoting good shop, good search to get people to understand that there are ways that you can donate to the station without using your out-of-pocket capital. This year so far, I've earned $54 for BAI in search alone. When I get more capital, I'm looking to increase that. However, we need, what is the feeling of the candidates on the immediate problem of addressing the finances? And is there a plan to go into the universities and the schooling system in order to recruit listeners to WBAI?
Thank you. And why don't we start this time with Camilla Reese.
Yeah, hi. Well, no doubt that WBAI is in a very serious financial situation. And if I were in charge, I would be marching right into foundation offices with a strategic plan that people could buy into and get some emergency funding. That's a category of funding for several foundations. They give emergency funding. I would do that, and I would also start cultivating all the foundations that would be interested in the themes or the target market audiences that WBAI plans to focus on. And then, so we need a strategic plan, even if it's just like a 2-page letter. I've offered to help with that. We need to go get money.
Thank you. And why don't we go to Paul DiRienzo?
Thank you. Well, that's a tall order, and I don't know if it's an easy answer for it. I think we need – I'll focus on one thing. Transparency on the CPB grant. They used to pay 10 or 20%, I remember, of the WBAI's budget, which was lost for reasons. That's why I stress transparency. I've heard all the reasons why we lost it. They seem to all be opinions and not the real reason. I don't know if for some reason that's secret or nobody knows. And I tend to think nobody knows because there was a period in that in the early 2000s. Where there was seemed to be very, you know, the whole station and network was running on, on fumes, and there was nobody really around and nobody knew what was happening and allowed a lot of bad things to happen, you know, because just wasn't any management really of any sort. I think we have to find out why that, you know, it's, we're waiting every, we just hear these excuses over and over again about the CPB money, which makes immediately everybody think what's really going on. And, you know, what I'm told is that people, there's just so much funny business going on with how Pacifica is run that people have just cut off giving money and the government doesn't trust us with that money. And now that we're under attack for politics, it's going to be even harder. But, you know, WBAI is important to the United States as an example of free speech in this country, that you allow an outlet for people who disagree with what the mainstream, especially on war and peace issues, and we should be focusing on that to get money.
Thank you. Sure. Shireen.
Thanks. So part of the problem with if in order to talk about money, you have to talk about the budgets, you have to talk about the budget process, you have to talk about the fact that one of the primary responsibilities of the LSB is to approve the year's annual budget and to do quarterly reviews of spending. WBAI budget for last year, the one that's ending on September 30th, has not been approved. And the finance, local finance committee has not been presented with even a draft. It didn't even come up at the last meeting, apparently, of the budget that begins October 1st. If a budget is a plan, you can't tell if someone is deviating from the plan if you don't know what the plan is. So management has to be held responsible for honoring the priorities that the board sets in the process of engaging the budget. But it has been more than a decade since the WBI LSB majority has seriously looked at the budget, discussed the budget, seriously questioned management about the budget. So it's one thing to say we don't have money, but it's like, who's watching where the money is being spent? Thanks.
M.K. Williams, did you speak on this?
Not yet. Well, I think Camilla brought up an important issue, which is a plan. You need a strategic plan, and you need, like, all of the above approach, all the things that you are sources where you can either curtail expenses or get money. And that's a process that's often done by an army of employees, which WBI used to have, which some stations still have, like business, you know, directors and so forth. But lacking that, I think the 3 million figure applies to the whole, the network as a whole, not just the BAI. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I do think we have severe needs. We at least need half of that. So starts with a plan.
Joan DiLorenzo, did you speak on this?
No, thanks. There's no easy answer to say how we can get money like that, like right away. The problem is we used to have foundation money and grants, but we never did the audits on time and all. We lost a lot of that. And then I think it doesn't matter how much money you bring in. You can, somebody can give you us a check for $3 million right now. If we don't have transparency and we don't see where that money is going, that's not going to help. We need transparency and everybody needs to see where the money is going to be spent. I think that's utmost.
Thank you. And I believe everyone spoke. If not, let me know. We're going to take our next caller. Caller, please say your name, where you're from, and take a minute to ask your question.
Hi, is it my turn now?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm calling from the People's Republic of Brooklyn, and my question for the candidates is the following. So let's say you all got elected and you're on the LSB. And let's say you've gone to meetings and you're trying to work with your co-LSB members, and not much change has happened since you got on the board and since you've attended some meetings. And we're still in the same financial emergency that we have been in for quite some time. And so I'm just curious as to know, to what ends might any of you go to sort of insist, if you will, that the people in charge of BAI and those higher up above as well, to what extent would you go to make these positive changes occur so that BAI could once again become in the black?
Thank you. Camilla Reese, would you like to start?
Sure. So I think that in any situation, especially a situation like this, that we need to exhibit leadership. And if one's ideas are not being heard, one needs to step up and communicate better and rally people to understand your points of what needs to happen next. And some of these decisions can be made at the local station level, probably some of them at the national level, but it's all about communication and leadership and taking a stand for what needs to happen.
Thank you. And M.K. Williams?
Well, I think we've talked about some steps that need to happen, budgeting plans, that kind of thing, all of the above, fundraising approach. I guess I would define what I wouldn't do. I think Paul DiRenzo is right. We need to stop suing each other in court. We need to sit down in a room and listen to each other and talk to each other. And not put ourselves on a war footing with Pacifica and then pretend that we're trying to save Pacifica.
Thank you. Joan DiLorenzo?
Most of these meetings are just so dysfunctional and I don't see anything that really happens in them. I would try to get people to listen and talk more and try to get things done instead of like wasting, they do waste a lot of time. And it's just a matter of listening to people and trying to make ideas and all that people can work with so that you can get something done and not just waste time.
Thank you. Serene Roberts?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Thank you. You know, board meetings are a little, more than a little frustrating because one gets the sense that it's not about getting the station's interests addressed, but it's more about control and dominance. So that you have a chat, because all meetings have been on Zoom since March of 2020. They've decided to lock down the chat and restrict it only to LSB members. That's not necessary. That's not how people use chats. I understand it's a disadvantage for people who aren't online, people who are just on by phone. But in the meantime, it's a useful way for people to contribute information. Board meetings, our board meetings are a farce of democracy. There's an almost, and I hate to use the phrase anal control, because I'm not a psychologist. I might be misusing it, but there's a sense of just wanting to get certain opinions voiced so other people are restricted from speaking. And I'm talking here about board members. And I heard something before about, oh, you know, people need to apologize and people need to people make mistakes and so on and so forth. In fact, no, you know what I didn't hear from that speaker? I didn't hear an apology for a public accusation that they made about someone else that was based on their own inability to handle the media that they had taken charge of. So there's a lot of hypocrisy. I think that one needs to really attend a board meeting. It's the second Wednesday of every month, 7 p.m.
Time.
From 7 p.m. to 9:45. Can I just tell them where they can get the information?
Absolutely.
Sure. KPFT. In fact, just go to WBI.org. There's a section of the website that's called Meetings, second Wednesday of every month. Check it out yourself.
Thank you, Paul D'Arienzo.
All right. Thank you. Well, I do have some trepidation. I've been on the board before. I spent 3 years on the board early on, and it was quite an exercise in futility and factionalism like I never saw. I mean, no actual work ever got done. It was a fight between, you know, if anybody remembers RIM 1 and RIM 2 at SDS when it was collapsing, it reminded me so much of those days. Nobody was actually talking about managing the radio station. Nobody came there with that intent at all. And nothing was done. And it was more a political grudge match between factions that didn't even really exist before. So that's why I do have some problem with the way the bylaws worked out, but I don't think we to change them. We have to go through the process, and it's better to spend all that time to write up a employee manual, to be honest with you. We're not the only board, nonprofit board with problems. There are ways to fix it. There are organizations, there are books. A lot of people are stepping forward with self-help for not-for-profits to help get by these problems, because a lot of people don't have, they come and join nonprofits because they are retired or they have a lot of time on their hands. And so, they fight thinking that there's nothing they have to do. But, I think that there's ways of getting around this and to fix it.
Thank you. We're going to take the next caller. So I'm having a little feedback. Hold off a second. Hold on for just a second. Okay, I think we're good again. Hello, listener. Can you give us your name and take 1 minute to ask your question? Hello? Okay, we'll go to the next call. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, please state your name and take a minute to ask your question.
Good evening. My name is Jacob, and I'm calling from Manhattan. And I have been listening for years to the board meetings with conversations about an interim program director and a search for a new program director. And I do not understand the juncture at which we are at now in that process, and also the blatant incompetence that is repeated consistently by the general manager and tolerated is something that I have absolutely no understanding of. And I think that perhaps a forensic audit is in order to understand all of the deficiencies that exist so that we can begin to get out of this quagmire that we have been stuck in for far too long.
Time.
And thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your call. And let's start with Joan DiLorenzo.
I really don't know how to answer that because I'm not on the
programming committee. I know that they are looking for, they are supposed to be evaluating the GM and the program director, and that has not happened. It's supposed to be done every year. And yes, we do need transparency. We do need to find out what's going on and where the money is going and all.
Okay, why don't we go to Camilla Reese?
Yes, hi. Well, I tell you, I'd be all in favor of a forensic audit. And because I think that there needs, like Joan said, there needs to be transparency. I don't feel I have a good picture of the numbers. I think one needs to really understand what's going on and why the accountants are giving Pacifica qualified, qualified accounting statements. And, to be able to figure out how to solve the financial problem, you really need to understand the numbers. And so all for that. I'm also all for getting a turnaround experts. I mean, I've turned around a couple of companies, and in the past, when we invested in like venture stage companies, some of them were troubled. And there are people who specialize in this. Yeah, you need to pay for it, but maybe you could find a recently retired financial turnaround expert to come in and make recommendations, with a level of professionalism and expertise that this station clearly needs. It could benefit from.
Thank you. Paul DiRienzo.
Well, first, it's important to know that we keep talking about this place as if it was the cultural revolution in China. And it's really ultimately just a radio station. And the reason I say that, because I don't really believe that it's not more than just a radio station, but let's look at it as just a radio station for a minute. Usually the board of directors of a radio station is totally in the pocket of management. That's a purpose. There's a reason for that. It's supposed to be that way. Once the manager loses support of the board, then they're not allowed to manage anymore. They don't usually stay in the job too much. Obviously, Pacifica and WBAI doesn't follow those rules because we're in large part a political organization and has nothing to do with running a radio station. And we have to carry that weight with us whenever we try and sit down and do stuff about the radio station. So I think at this point, we have to wait till after the election, see how the votes on the board turn out, see if the management still has support and confidence of the board or not before anything's going to move forward as far as, trying to challenge their jobs or anybody's job or something like that. I mean, if they still have support on the board, then they're still going to have their job, whatever you do.
Thank you. Serene, did you answer this question?
I did not. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, thanks. So I will say this, forensic audit is very expensive. That much we know. We don't even have at this point money to do the regular audits for the foundation. The foundation does, our audit is about to be late, later than the California board of whichever one of the boards, I forget, that requires nonprofits file them, annually. If someone has an extra $35,000 or so hanging around, please send an email to ed@pacifica.org. I will say this. When I complain about how things are done at WBAI, I'm not suggesting that the GM is stealing. I want to be clear about that. I'm suggesting that a board is there to provide oversight. But if you don't know what is happening, if you don't know what the expenses are, if you don't know why we have 14 consultants, quote, consultants, which essentially is the way that management hires without having an actual employment posting,
time,
where they literally pick someone out of their phone book and hires them. If you don't know how the money is being spent, you are failing. That's not the management's failure. That's the board's failure.
Time.
Thanks.
Thank you. And MK Williams, did you answer or are you?
I haven't yet.
Okay, please do.
Well, first of all, he asked about also the status of the program director. She had been she had the status of interim for 3 years, and the Pacifica board felt that that itself was against our bylaws, and it is their prerogative, and they decided to make her the actual program director. So she is now actually the acting. She is no longer acting. She is the program director. And of course, she is in the process of being evaluated. That's what we're doing in the management evaluation committee. And we're also evaluating the GM. And as far as transparency, this is a personnel matter. How many people on this call or listening would want their personnel interview to be publicized, you know, on the air? I just think it's ridiculous. We need to maintain confidentiality of personnel matters.
Time.
And this committee was elected by the board, and they are doing their job.
Thank you. I believe everyone has answered. If not, please let me know. I have another question for you. Have you attended LSB meetings? If so, what are your thoughts about meetings, its structures and procedures, and how do you think the LSB could be a more effective fundraising body? And let's start with M.K. Williams.
Like most people, I find these meetings excessively long, and the agendas are just sometimes there's so many items carried over from the past that are no longer pertinent to actual current problems we need to deal with urgently right now. I think we need to democratize the process of making this agenda. It needs to work for more people. And I think there are ways to do that, and we should just do that.
Thank you. Paul DiRienzo?
Well, I like to say first, the CAB, the other board that we aren't talking about, the one that's actually legally required, unlike the LSB, which is our own creation, really. The one that's legally required is the CAB, and every public radio station has a CAB. And I think the CAB is doing great work. And be honest with you, my experience is up to this point, the CAB is way more serious about doing good work and has done really good work. And if you gave them, in the way they were chosen, the handles, they probably do a better job than the board has been doing so far. All right. And to me, what that means is that we have to like rely more on the people and the listeners and the public when we're doing these things, instead of keeping it so close to the vest and so insider, where it lacks transparency. And, that's what I have to say is open. If we open up the station and we had the station that we used to have, you know, that was out there amongst the people, we wouldn't have this problem.
Time. And Serene? Did you answer this
okay.
one?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So I've been to LSB meetings more than anybody should have to count. But yet I am asking you to vote me number one so I can go back. Because I think, you know, it's hard work. It tests your resolve. But there's no place like WBAI. And regardless of who holds what title at the moment, WBAI has to survive. And that's what my interest is. With regard to the statement made earlier, the LSB has the exclusive authority to create the hiring pool for PD or GM. The National Board never weighed in on this person's status. And the title of interim was removed, and she was given the permanent job. She was not in the pool that the LSB created. This was publicly stated. It was a 3-man pool.
Time.
She was not in that pool. Thanks. It was someone with a conflict of interest who engineered that, and that's inappropriate.
Time.
Thanks.
Yes. And Who is yet to answer? Joan DiLorenzo, did you answer this?
No, I didn't, but I just find these meetings like such a waste of time because I don't think anybody goes there to actually do anything. They just waste time of, oh, they waste 30 minutes because somebody went over 3 minutes and they're going to take a vote on them. It's just totally, nothing gets done. I think that you have to go there with a mission that you want to accomplish something. And if you're letting listeners come to the meeting, then you need to talk to them. Don't let them ask questions and then, like, that's it. You need to have a dialogue with them so you can hear what the listeners want.
Thank you. Who didn't speak? MK Williams?
Camilla.
Camilla. Camilla Reese, please give your answer.
Thank you. Yeah, I have attended some of these meetings. I do find them very long, but I've actually learned an awful lot, too. I think they could be managed a little differently, maybe with Robert's Rules of Order or something like that. But to address the fundraising question, I've raised millions and millions of dollars for nonprofit organizations. I know how to use the foundation database. I know that there are tracks in there where you can look up. There are foundations that really want to focus on community building. There are others that want to focus on health education. There are others that focus on viewpoint diversity. So you've got to figure out who the foundations are and what you're going to emphasize. What's in that strategic plan, like I said before, of what are the themes with specificity. I also think, like somebody said at another meeting, that we could get local business support. Good businesses, no conflicts of interest, but where they get regular visibility, regular mention, and they commit to underwriting some of the costs of operating the station. I think that's a possibility. I also think that there could be a fantastic online auction. I connected to a company, a nonprofit on the West Coast that, you know, they raised $200,000 in 2 weeks' time doing an online auction where people have these underutilized assets. They may not want to give you cash, but they'd loan you their beach house for an online auction, their ski condo or fishing trip or lunch with a famous author, et cetera. You can make it fun. It could be really exciting. And so you could do that. But bottom line is you need a strategic plan and you need to have management that the foundation or donor is going to have confidence in.
Time. Okay, I believe everyone has answered the question. We've been joined by another candidate, David Saltman, and you didn't have a chance to introduce yourself. Would you take 2 minutes to make your introductory statement so people can know more about you?
I presented a written statement that I, according to the mailing I got, was going to be read in my absence. I guess that didn't happen, right?
It did not.
So, okay. I've been a broadcast professional for 50 years. I've done every single job from page to senior executive producer. I've won all kinds of awards. My work has actually been inducted into the Smithsonian Institution for examples of creativity and graphic design and presentation. I've been a listener to Pacifica and WBAI for basically all my adult life. And I'm frankly appalled at what I'm seeing, which is I just logged on 2 minutes ago and got the complete summary of what it's been up to now. Everybody bloviating and nothing happening. In my last online appearance, which was about a week ago, where they were asking for ideas on funding and money raising. I've raised, like Camilla, I've raised millions of dollars for public, mostly for public television. But I presented I gave my secret plan. I didn't hide it. I presented it in public And everybody was like, oh my God, brilliant. It was an absolute home run. And I was shocked that nobody called me or approached me afterwards. No executives. I was expecting to hear from at least the station manager saying, hey, can you help us out here? Give us a couple of names. How did it work? How do you do this? What do you do? And I would have been and still would be happy to do it. But I'm thinking that being on the board is looking to me like being a complete waste of time. And I think I would do the station a much bigger service being a consultant of some sort. And, you know, if they want my expertise, let them come to me, because I am not going to sit in endless meetings jabbering about ancient history and never having anything happen. That is not the broadcasting industry or business that I signed up for and that I know and that I have worked extremely effectively in. So that's probably about 2 minutes right there.
Thank you. We're going to go for another listener call. Please state your name and where you're calling from and 1 minute for your question. Hello, you're on the air. Speak up. Okay, we're going to try another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Russell in White Plains, and I aspire to be a $20 a month caller sponsor. I'd like to suggest that Pastor Michael Vincent Crea and station manager Bertold Reimers should have their own show so they stop calling other shows and wasting scarce caller time. Now, my question is...
Part of the deal here is that you not disparage. Please don't.
The beginning, I'm sorry I did. That's not disparaging, but I'm just stating the truth. If it's honest, it might be offensive. But in most radio stations, emphasis is placed on shows developing a consistent following, especially when you're asking for donations. Does constant shifting of time slots, which are in bite-sized shows, what does this accomplish? Does the constant searching for a new audience result in just smaller audiences? And I have to admit that Paul DiRienzo, even though we disagreed, was always open to other opinions, and I think he's the best person there. Thank you.
Thank you. That question is open to all, and let's start with David Saltman. You have to unmute if you want to answer the question.
What's the question? I didn't get a question out of that. Okay. Am I wrong?
You make a good point. Let's go to our next caller. And hello, please state your name and ask your question. 1 minute, please. Hello, are you there? All right, we're going to try another caller. Hello? Hello? Well, the number is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877, and we will go for another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, if you give your name, please, and ask your question. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Michael. The Pacifica Foundation bylaws establishes local station boards locally elected by and accountable to the station listeners, ensuring local flavor and what the local listeners want. In that context, what do you think about the possibility of developing national Pacifica shows to be played across the network to possibly foster a national Pacifica network brand?
And we will ask, David, would you like to be the first to answer that question? Okay, let's go to Camilla Reese.
Hi. I do understand and really appreciate the need for programming to be locally focused. And I think there's so much opportunity in a city like New York to create fantastic local programming. That being said, I think that there are also issues that affect everybody across this country, like health, environmental issues, I don't see any reason why there couldn't be some really good national program that could apply and be aired on multiple stations and it might make some economic sense, but you'd still want to have tremendously robust local programming as well.
Time. M.K. Williams?
Well, I think we have had some success with, say, town halls that were organized across the entire network. These are not, I don't think this should be like regular programming. I think it's more like special event programming. And I also think it should not interfere with a robust local focus.
Thank you. Camilla Reese?
Oh, I just spoke.
Oh, my brain is melting. Paul DiRienzo?
Yeah, I thank you for that question. I think that's probably the most important single question that was asked, and I think the future of this whole network, it depends upon how we answer that question. We need national news. The biggest disaster that ever happened was giving up the national news 20 years ago, and this gets to the whole issue behind everything. The real controversial issue at Pacifica is who owns the programming. Does Pacifica Radio own a show? Does it own the programming that's done with its equipment on its broadcast on its airtime? Or are we going to be a station where people just pay lease access time for their own time and then do and say whatever they want? I mean, that's really what we're talking about. And if we're going to be face the challenges of the future and be a network that operates as a network, we have to have the linking thing, or else we're going to devolve into lease time act. That's what's happening already.
Time. Thank you. And Serene? Serene Roberts.
Thanks. I would think that as vice chair of the board, that's the person who just called in that if he is serious about having a programming discussion, time should be put aside in an LSB meeting for a programming discussion. Or we can reestablish a programming committee that focuses on that. I think that would be a great idea. In the meantime, we do have programs that are carried by more than one station. We also have, from back in the bad days, a policy that says there's no must carry, which means no one is compelled, no station is compelled to carry programming. Maybe that should be revisited. Certainly there needs to be some organization and some planning with regard to some national coverage. We're heading into very important elections, even if one believes that the Demopubs, is that what you call the mix of the Republicans and the Democrats? Are pretty much, you know, two sides of the same coin. There are serious issues that affect us regardless of what state we're living in.
Time.
And it would be helpful to have some collaboration on such programming. Thanks.
Thank you. David Saltman, do you want to answer this question? No, Yes.
Yes, okay. I do. Sorry, I'm just putting myself back on the air here. There is no network. Pacifica is not a network. I've worked at the networks. Networks are actual organizations made up of thousands of people that actually have a building and they do work and they have their own independent news gathering. We were talking about news. I worked for CBS News for many years with Charles Kuralt and Diane Sawyer and Charles Collingwood and Walter Cronkite, the legendary, you know, CBS News team. That didn't just come out of thin air. You can't just have a committee meeting and set up a network. It just doesn't work that way. A network feeds the stations. You know, NPR has a network, for example. They have their own bureaus and their own news gathering operations and so on. And the individual stations have a kind of mirror of that that works on a smaller scale. So, I mean, when I hear this, it's obvious to me, and with all due respect, and I guess I'm violating the law against dumping on anybody. Nobody knows what they're talking about. They haven't got a clue.
Time. Joan, did you speak on this?
No, I didn't. I think there's always been programming that's been done on all the stations. We should have international news and national news, especially with elections and all coming up. And you can have programs like literature and poetry and all that can go on all the different stations that go along with all your local programs.
Thank you. Has everyone spoken on this question? Okay, so we're going to take another listener call. We're running very short on time, so please, everyone, be very, very succinct. Listener, hello. State your name and ask your question. Hello? Hello, speak up. Okay, let's try the next one. Hello, you're on the air. Do you have a question? State your name,
hello?
Please. Yes, give your name and question.
Hi. You know, I've been listening to Pacifica. It's going on 40-something years, or NPR for, WBAI for 40 years. I keep hearing everybody talk about Pacifica or PBS and every other station. But we lost something when we lost to Maury Marston, which was back in the 80s, and we've never gotten it back. And what I'm, you know, it was good to hear Paul DiRienzo because he's been on the air forever, but I... You know, what are you coming up with as solutions? Because we need solutions to this problem. And I agree that board meetings are boring and exhausting and everything else, and maybe committees are better. By the way, everybody knows that. And committees come back to the boards with their answers. But, you know, how are you going to do it?
Thank you. Please be brief. Let's start with M.K. Williams.
I'm not sure I understand the question. It's like,
solutions?
How are we going to, recapture the enthusiasm that was lost when we lost Samori Marksman and other changes along the way? That was one part of the question. And then I wasn't clear on what the other, maybe she can, maybe someone else can explain.
Okay, so we can come back. How about Paul DiRienzo? Would you like to answer?
Sure. I was a very close associate, very close friend of Samori Marksman. He was one of the main people who brought me into WBAI and taught me journalism and gave me free rein to pretty much do what I wanted. When we lost him, I lost that free rein. All of a sudden, everybody's telling me what to do. And it was great unto him when he knew and he understood what we were trying to do with the news and gave full support to that. We have to remember this is not normal radio and this is not CBS, although a lot of the people at BAI loved CBS in the 50s, especially when they were fighting McCarthy and all of that. But let me just finish one second and then I'm done. Founded by pacifists in 1940s, pacifists against World War II. All right. That is iconoclastic. That has always been BAI. And we've managed to do things nobody else could do through our iconoclasm, through our hipsterism, through our advocation of psychedelic drugs. You know, that's how we did it. Marijuana. I could think of all the things that we did that everybody said was crazy back then and made something out of it.
We're going to run out of time. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what we really are.
MK, did you want to come answer the question?
Maybe someone else can answer this one.
Shireen? Did you answer this question, Serene? Serene? David Saltman, do you want to respond?
I totally get that WBAI has different roots from CBS News. CBS was started as an advertising medium. So right away, you know, you've got a completely different originating point of view. I get that. I also, in my other incarnation as a journalist, non-broadcast, I worked for Ramparts magazine, which if you remember, if you're old enough, was the first magazine in America to come out against the Vietnam War. And I worked for Liberation News Service covering things like the Bertrand Russell War Crimes Tribunal and so forth. This, I think, is the legitimate domain of WBAI and Pacifica and so on, and to cover everything. I mean,
time.
The news doesn't... I've said my piece.
Excellent. Joan DiLorenzo, did you speak?
No, I didn't. I think we just need to hear what the listeners want more of, and we have to put more fun into fundraising and just stop asking people for money all the time. I think that turns everybody off. And hooking up with all these newspapers. There's so many of them that we could have all different points of view and all different news programs in it.
Thank you. I believe Serene is left to speak.
I am. Thanks. Sorry?
Yes, please.
Oh.
Did you have
Yeah, I'd like to answer the question. I'll tell you, somebody is responsible for my being a WBAI. I was happy listening to the radio. And then I would start going to his forums. And he said, oh, you know, I have a plan for you. And he asked me to start producing talkback with Utrecht Lead. And I've been in the mix as producer, assistant producer, helper, all around suggestion maker, resource finder since then. We need BAI. There's nothing like it. If there are people who are clogging up the works, don't vote for them. I don't mean don't rank them high. I mean, don't rank them. And for the people who want to contribute, who are on this call, you don't have to wait to be elected. You might, as someone posited, be more useful off the board than on. But by all means, there's plenty of work to be done.
Thank you. I believe everyone has answered the question, and we are...
No, I did. This is Camilla. Oh, I didn't Camilla, answer that question.
Please.
Okay. So, you know, I see so many opportunities to jazz up the programming, to make WBAI a great station again, to increase the listenership, the diversity of the audiences. But it all boils down to really seriously examining what are the needs of the market that you are meeting in the programming, and really look hard at the programming and figure out who you want to be. What target audiences, you know, do you want to feature the culture of New York, the health issues, the how to navigate the political process, self-help things, whatever they are, you're going to define them and find the funding. Funding will not just come for general purposes. You really need to excite donors. And I think that you've got it. You can raise the funding if you have a good strategic plan that meets the market's needs.
Thank you. And has anyone else not spoken that I inadvertently didn't call your name? Okay, we're out of time, and I'm just going to offer a closing statement with apologies. There, we have a full board of callers wanting to get in, with some on hold. Remember, there will be another program next Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. I invite you to call in. If you want to get your questions in early, you can send it by email, and that is one way we can read the question. And all you have to do is send that to radio@WBAI.org. And I want to thank all of you for listening to WBAI's Candidate Forum for the 2023 delegate elections. Visit elections.pacifica.org for more information and to request an e-ballot. To request a paper ballot, leave a message on the following phone number: 1-213-635-9363. I'm going to say that again because it seems that little gremlin came back. That number again is 1-213-635-9363. Please only request a paper ballot if you do not have access to a computer or smartphone. Make sure to cast your ballot before 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, September 30th, 2023. It has been my pleasure to moderate this forum. I'm Catherine Davis. Thank you all for participating. And
I'm sorry, we're not getting closing statements?
Yeah. I was just about to offer you that opportunity, but we're out of time. So you have each 10 to 20 seconds. Why don't we start with Joan DiLorenzo?
I just want to help the AI and work with everybody to get us back, to get the AI back again to being free speech, truth and justice, community for everyone radio. Thank you. Please welcome.
Thank you, Joan DiLorenzo. Camilla Reese.
Yes. Hi. So I'm Camilla Reese. I hope you will all vote for me. I would love to put my business and financial skills, my creativity, and my strong strategic orientation to work for WBAI's success. Thank you.